Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
The average price of a home in Massachusetts is nearly $600,000. That's 50% more than the national average. And part of the reason it's so expensive is because there's just no supply. There's really, really low supply. So, simple question. Why not just build more?
There is a ton of money spent without even anything to really show for it other than pieces of paper.
You just heard from Boston developer Sean McReynolds, whose mixed income project in Chelsea cost millions before construction even began. So many factors have gotten us to this point, and we'll address some of those in a moment. But the state has offered a solution, or part of a solution. Massachusetts is enforcing new zoning guidelines that require MBTA communities to increase density near transit zones, so building more housing there. There are 175 MBTA communities from Worcester and north to Salisbury. And so far, all but seven of those communities have submitted their plans to build more units. So here in the studio with us to talk about this and other potential solutions, we're looking for the glimmers of hope here to our severe housing shortage is Jesse Kansen-Beninov, Executive Director of Abundant Housing Massachusetts. He has 20 years of experience in Massachusetts housing and community development. Jesse, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, briefly tell us what your organization does.
Yeah, Abundant Housing Massachusetts is a statewide pro-housing organization. We believe that Massachusetts is for everyone and that every community in the state should be open and welcoming to all, regardless of race or income, age, ability, any other number of life circumstances and identities. And that's not the case in many communities across our state. In particular, many communities utilize what we call exclusionary zoning rules that keep out new types of homes, anything other than large luxury single-family homes from their borders. And that has the impact of actually limiting who has access to live in those communities. That's why we see so many towns across Massachusetts that are disproportionately to the demographics of the region or state, white, wealthier homeowners. We're trying to integrate the state and build more housing opportunity for all and make housing more affordable.
I was just going to ask you this big question that we could probably spend the rest of the hour on, but you already started answering the how did we get here? I mean, the shortage right now is, I think, around 200,000 housing units, according to some estimates, and we'll need 500,000 by 2040. So how is there a simple answer to how we got here?
There's not necessarily a simple answer. There's a lot of factors that play into it. But you're absolutely right. The reality is that our housing crisis in Massachusetts is driven disproportionately by the fact that we have not built enough homes in our state for a generation. In the 30 years prior to 1990, we built about 900,000 homes in Massachusetts. In the 30 years since 1990, we've built about half that. And that's at a time where our population has grown. We've added new jobs. People have moved to our state. And so that's a major factor that's driving this crisis, the lack of supply of homes for everyone across the income spectrum and across the state.
So we were just talking about one of the solutions, and I want to highlight that's just one because it's not a silver bullet. There's no silver bullet. But that's building more housing in MBTA communities. That requirement was under Governor Charlie Baker, and now Governor Maura Healey is pushing that requirement. And an MBTA community is just any community that's around transit stations, commuter rails, all that. But Jesse, can the state force communities to build more housing, and specifically more affordable housing? Like, how powerful is the state when municipalities have a lot of the power?
Yeah, that's absolutely that's a great question. We do really pride ourselves on local control here in Massachusetts. And so getting to the point where the state is actually telling communities that they have to do something different is proving to be a difficult conversation at times. But, you know, I think as we've seen in recent days, as more towns who are covered by this law have submitted their action plans to comply with it, all but 7 of the 175. I think it's showing progress towards that and progress towards a recognition that we need to take at least a regional in eastern Massachusetts approach and work across communities to help build more homes for everyone to make it more affordable. The problem that we have with such a shortage of homes is that we force people across the economic spectrum into competition with each other for that very limited supply of homes. And so when we're not building across the region, that's really pricing low and working class households out. Wealthier folks are always going to win in the competition for limited supply of homes, bid up the cost of housing. We've seen that in homeownership, where people offer all cash, well over asking. We've even seen that in recent years in the rental market, at least here in the city of Boston, where wealthier renters are offering landlords even more. And so this is what the lack of supply of homes is driving. It's driving displacement across our region. And so that's what this law needs to address.
I just have to add an anecdote. I really do have to add it. But when one of my friends was selling his home and got a free trip to Iceland as the icing on the cake to his already over asking. So just the absurdity of the housing market. I had to share that one. But I want to play a piece of sound because our producer, Bart Tachi, spoke with the developer who you heard at the beginning, Sean McReynolds, the president of the Joseph J. Cochran Company, about that project in Chelsea called Inez Apartments. So that's mixed income, and it took 5 years to break ground, some because of complications due to COVID, but some because of this reason.
At the very beginning, it had to go through a rezoning, and that took a lot of time and effort to get the municipal and community leaders on board with the need for upzoning this particular area.
So I hear this frustration from a lot of developers, and that is because you have no idea the amount of forms and money and time it takes to even, like, before you even get the first shovel into the ground. And I'm sure that's really frustrating, but I'm wondering, in this case, the new zoning law, MBTA, does it make things easier for developers? And can we make things easier for developers going forward?
This law should make it easier for us to build a variety of homes across eastern Massachusetts, because what it does is require that these 175 communities adopt zoning where multifamily housing is allowed as of right, which means without the extensive either rezoning or special permits or other zoning variances that are often required to do multifamily housing in these communities. And so you said at the top that this developer had to spend millions before they even broke ground. This should cut down on that once these multifamily as of right zoning districts are allowed, because what happens when we maintain this very complicated system for building homes is that the costs, those millions of dollars, even before you break ground, it gets passed on in the form of higher rents or sales prices to the future owners. And again, that's what's driving our housing affordability crisis in the state. So absolutely, this new law and the fact that it's requiring multifamily, meaning apartments, whether rental or ownership as of right, should make a big step in reducing the cost of building a variety of homes for families across the income spectrum across eastern Massachusetts.
I want to bring in another voice. Jocelyn, also in the studio with us, is Jocelyn De Leon at Estrada. She's the vice president of the Alliance for Business Leadership, and also happens to be in her late 20s looking to buy a home, as I understand.
Yes, trying to buy a home.
So, Jocelyn, why don't you first tell me about the work you do at the Alliance for Business Leadership, and then we'll jump on to the whole personal story thing.
Sure thing. So the Alliance for Business Leadership is a nonprofit membership organization for business leaders who are committed to social responsibility. I lead our educational programming work and also our policy work. And we have our fingers in a couple of different policy areas, but we predominantly focus on housing, transportation, and climate and clean energy because we see those issues as most impacting residents of Massachusetts, our workforce, and the state's economic competitiveness.
So you're kind of getting local businesses in on this to focus on this as an issue, but also put like their political will maybe behind some of the legislation or some of the policy that's going on around housing.
You got it. I was just going to add that our members, you know, are seeing this day to day in their employees and workforce that, you know, they're struggling with these issues, whether it's, you know, trying to find somewhere to live that's affordable for them or trying to even get to their job in the first place.
Yeah, it's becoming a real issue for employers. I can attest to that just being a business reporter and talking to them. But this is what I want to hear. Okay. And you can be as honest. You can just complain if you want. Tell me about that home search.
So I've been trying to buy a home with my brother because I really see that as the only means at this time to be able to afford to buy a home. And we've started this process over a year ago, but in earnest, you know, started looking at houses in May 2022. And we're still looking. We have wonderful realtors who have been working with us, but it's been a pretty enlightening process and certainly frustrating at times.
Do you know, like, how many you've looked at so far or how many offers you've been able to put down or any?
I've lost count on the how many open houses I've been to. I think at this point probably have put in 6 offers or so. I think the first house we looked at, which we were like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. It looks just like the house that we were raised in Lawrence. You know, we put in an offer and it ended up going $65,000 over asking. And there was over 40 offers in.
40.
And that's when we were like, oh, my gosh, you know, we know how competitive it is, but we didn't realize it until we were in it.
Can I ask where you're looking?
I'm exclusively looking in the city of Haverhill.
Oh, okay. So let me back up here. I want to know, is the MBTA an important factor in your search? What are important factors in your search?
Having a commuter rail station in close proximity to where I live is absolutely important to me. When we created the list of what are we looking for, I said, I need a commuter rail station because I commute into the city about, you know, 2 times a week, if not more, for my job. And I'm thankful that they provide, you know, free commuter rail benefits so that I can take the train in.
Can I ask you to describe that feeling when you just put in an offer on the house? It's exciting because I can relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been lucky yet. But what does it feel like to get that call and be like, not this time, maybe next time?
I mean, I would be lying if I said it wasn't sad. But I try to be hopeful and think, you know, what's meant to be will be. So that's why we're continuing on with the search, even though it's taken this long and has been so hard. I'll add, you know, we did have an offer accepted towards the end of the year. And we had an inspection, which I know is rare in this market. And I'm so thankful because we found out, you know, there were serious foundational issues and we weren't, you know, willing to be able to take that risk on. And it really flags for me, like, I was afraid when I found out about those foundational issues and thought, you know, all of those people who waived inspections, like, I'm afraid of what they're going to find out about their homes.
A lot of people do take that risk, though.
Yeah.
I've actually had realtors tell me to just don't do inspection. It'll make you so much less competitive. Have you ever felt tempted to do that?
We've thought about it, but no, we've in all of our offers, we haven't waived inspection. And, you know, that might be part of the reason why it's taken so long, but we're just not willing to take on that risk. You know, this is a big financial investment that we're trying to make.
Yeah, the last thing you want to do is just pour all your savings and then discover that you have like $100,000 worth of repairs to do. But Jesse, just to bring you back in, you listened to Jocelyn's story. I'm sure it's not new to you in the 20 years you've been doing this. How often do you hear this and like just talk about the frequency and how it's changed since you've been doing this work in the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredibly common story. I mean, particularly for folks that, you know, don't come from families with lots of means or parents that can or you know, other family members that can give them a down payment. I mean, you know, our sort of middle income folks are really priced out of the market. And the point I think that's so important is that it's not just here in Boston and Cambridge and Brookline. It's not here just in the urban core. I mean, Jocelyn's story is about Haverhill and the Merrimack Valley, and we're seeing it all over the region. It's only gotten worse in the 20 or so years that I've been in this field. I mean, I remember when I started working as a community organizer in Somerville in 2003 on housing issues. You know, Somerville was still a place that working class families could afford to buy a home, although it was beginning to change even at that point. And certainly, that's not what Somerville is anymore. You know, we're seeing it again. It's going across the region and across the state. I mean, we're here mostly talking about the MBTA communities law, but there is a severe housing crisis on Cape Cod and the islands, which isn't covered by the MBTA communities law. And they're really struggling to understand, you know, how can we they build more homes even out there.
Can I ask you, so we have this MBTA communities law, and I'm glad we're talking about it because it is like a little glimmer of hope, and I do want to talk about solutions. Are there any that come at the top of your mind when it comes to solutions, like things we just like immediately need to do, or things that you would even advise, you know, the governor, the mayor? What do you want to see?
Yeah, we really need to have a conversation about how do we make it so that across the state we can build a variety of homes to serve a variety of life needs. I think we have a very patchwork of laws around the state that allow accessory dwelling units, that's like backyard cottages, to be built. Some towns ban it altogether. Some towns have cumbersome processes you can go through. We need to follow suit of states like Maine and California that have legalized accessory dwelling units across their states and do that here in Massachusetts. We also need to have a conversation about how can we reform our zoning processes, not just in the city of Boston, which Mayor Wu has begun talking about, but across the state, to allow more affordable housing and also naturally occurring affordable housing, smaller apartment buildings that tend to be more moderately priced to build and to rent or own. And so thinking about the classic triple-decker that we see across the state of Massachusetts, which traditionally was an affordable type of home in our region, that's essentially banned through most cities and states where, rather cities and towns where you see them in the state. So think about how can we bring that back as an affordable opportunity to be built all around our region. So I think those are some strategies we need to talk about, and how to do it as of right without cumbersome zoning processes that add a substantial cost to the construction and ultimate rental or sales prices.
Well, Jesse Kantzen-Benenov, Executive Director of Abundant Housing Massachusetts, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And Jocelyn De Leon Estrada, Vice President of the Alliance for Business Leadership, thank you for being here, and good luck in your housing search. I am rooting for you.
Thank you so much.